Welcome to VFN Radio. It is Friday. Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful day of celebration. The weekend is here. We serve well during our week. It's time to relax for those that are on shift work. And today we're going to encourage you. My name is Greg Lancaster. And joining me today to encourage you is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Also joining us from the outskirts of the metropolis, that supposedly Batman was a part of, is John Ramos.
Good morning.
I'm so excited to hear all your feedback from our listeners. I do want to welcome this morning brand new listeners to the VFN radio audience. Gerald, welcome. Rachel, Ed, Martha, Charlene, Tim, Ingrid, Alan, Brianna, Mort, Alper, Richard, Carol, Rita, Linda, Phyllis, Rebecca, Manuel, Peggy, Michael, John, Tim, Alan, oh my goodness, Muhammad, Matt, welcome everybody into the virtual stadium of VFN TV and the daily radio program. We're so glad for you to join. Obviously, we couldn't say to everybody, but we want to say welcome. Today's program is going to be so informing as we're talking again about the citizenship test. Also, rethinking church. We need to rethink this thing. If what we're doing is not working, as the word says, hey, let's just rethink it. Let's think about it. We'll be comparing it to the Marines, believe it or not. We'll get a shout out to Joanne. Good morning, Joanne in Manhattan. Good morning, Eddie Patterson. Good morning, Debbie. Tell all those lawyers we said hello this morning. Give a shout out to Toys R Us, Maria, Sophia. Crank it up. We love Toys R Us. Let them hear it. America is selling F-15s to Egypt. Can you believe it? We'll be talking about God's news behind the news today. And a funny segment about the Grand Canyon and You Can't Adjust. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me to encourage you is Matt Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good day. How are you doing today? I know different time zones happening all around the listening audience right here. I tell you, what a wonderful, wonderful Friday this is. We can rest assured knowing that the Lord has this Friday. This, I like that, fried day. You know, if you're down south, fried means like, can I have some fried chicken, some fried fish and fried. I mean, we have restaurants that's literally based off of fried shrimp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They call them shrimp baskets around the south. And it's, you know, if you watch any of the undersea films, he's like, oh my goodness, these are like rodents of the sea.
I know it.
Eating all that drops, you know, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
But they are so good.
They are good.
They're very, very
tasty,
good.
Very tasty.
And it was not as you know, sad as a crawfish.
Mm.
That's really, I mean, see where that thing crawls around. I was like going to Louisiana, and I thought, what are these people on the side of the road digging in the ditches for? It didn't make no sense. It's like, they're looking for supper. They're looking for supper.
Yeah.
digging crawfish out of the mud. Out of the mud.
What they call them, mud bugs.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
They sure are good, though.
Are they really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
very good.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think I've ever had one.
Well, next time we see John, we've got to give him a whole big basket. As a matter of fact, we'll give a shout-out to Brett and Sharon. When you're coming, I think, from either Mobile or New Orleans, get a big old bag of them things and bring them on in as we're getting together in January.
That's right.
You know, it's 11 days till Christmas.
Wow.
Mm. 11 days till the day that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, it was hopeless outside of this particular awesome day that we celebrate of Jesus' birth. And of all the things you think about as you're going to a city, I don't know if you've ever been to a city before or a community before where an event was going on or something was happening, but there's no vacancies. There's no vacancies. And so you check this one, you check that one. I remember going to a Promise Keepers event in New Orleans. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That was hilarious. Oh, yeah. We got to talk about that sometimes. Mm. And, we got there and we already had reservations, you know, on Canal Street. It was at the Days Inn or something right off the Interstate 10. It's in visual distance of the Superdome, which, of course, Pat is in awe. And and we get there and they're overbooked. They're overbooked.
Oh, no.
And, of course, you have all these Christian men that are coming there looking at the ability to bear fruit now.
Right.
You know, it's now when you're finding out you are on Canal Street in New Orleans.
Being severely tested.
And being severely tested, and you do not have a room.
Mm.
And, of course, you know, I was very patient and kind. I think I said something, you know, this is my early days, right? You're going to give us our room.
Right.
I invited, you know, Pat was a heathen then, I believe. Were you a heathen then?
No.
You weren't? It was close.
What is a heathen?
It was fresh. He still smelled like heathen. No, he was a brand new believer. And
I wouldn't have went.
You wouldn't have?
No.
Superdome?
Maybe.
Yeah, all right. Superdome. And then we had two other people with us. We'll talk about that right now. And which was hilarious. Whole nother story.
Oh, yeah.
And we're standing there with four guys, you know, about to have this big event in the Superdome. And this clerk looks at us and just basically says, you know, you don't have any room. We don't have any rooms. And they're all kind of looking at us like that. And, of course, I said, listen, you know, because I invited everybody to go. And I said, you got to give us a room. I mean, we got to have a room. And so they lean down and they whisper in somebody's ear and said something to the idea is like, give them 401. You know, you know, I was like, oh, my goodness, the room that they never rent, we got. And whatever it was. And it was like, it was rare in things to help you out. It was a basic, very basic room. I think it was a broom closet that threw some beds in. I don't know. It was a rough room. And that is definitely an amazing time. But there's no room. There was no room. Imagine that. You're stuck here in this city. Now imagine you're there with a pregnant wife.
Mm.
You know, she's going through contractions and she's just going, you know, I mean, she can't say, Joseph, you got me into this. Like, you know, because God's the father of Jesus, but she's going through contractions. Think about that.
Yeah. And there's no hospital.
Well, you think about it, the contractions going down even today in the earth, or the earth is contracting about the birth, the return of our Lord. But now at this point, our Lord is a child in the womb of Mary about to be birthed. And just like it was for us in New Orleans, there was no vacancies. There was no room for Mary and Joseph. And think about it. They had no idea that they weren't providing a room for the Son of God. Can you imagine? You know, it's like, oh my goodness, I should have gave them my room. I can't believe that I didn't give them my room. And of course, Jesus is so humble and God's trying to, he's humble and he's showing us humility that he's willing to be born in a barn. In a barn, in a manger, you know, and that's what happened. There was no room, and here she is going through these, you know, contractions, and the day's getting close, and there was no room for Jesus in the, we would say the hotel or motel, but they said the inn, you know, I-N-N, and it's just like, oh my goodness, that is just totally something. But yet, despite having no room, that they still found a place, Joseph found a place for his wife to comfort her, in a barn, in a place where the animals were kept, in a manger, made a manger out of what was there, laid, and then Jesus was born, and laid Jesus in this manger. And of course, all of heaven is watching this because this is the birth of the Son of God, and men are still pondering all this, trying to figure it out, and all of a sudden some shepherds come. You know, shepherds come because they have this appearance of angels and, you know, says, for unto you today, and these awesome things, and then these wise men started coming with the gifts of frankincense and myrrh, and they're seeing in gold because they saw a sign, a star, and I mean, all these, everything's shifting. Everybody's going, this is it. This is it. And Mary and Joseph are just pondering, you know, I was just trying to find a room. We just finally had a baby. And it took a while to kind of, you know, what does this mean? And this is a powerful day that we celebrate. That's why you have manger scenes put up in people's homes. And that's why you find that the people that are held captive by Satan, they let their mouths and their hearts be used by the adversary, are against putting a manger scene up because that is a depiction of this day.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Because you think, why would the, you know, a few little wooden things or plastic things with a light on it and some live sheep around it and, a little small little baby and some straw. What's the big deal? Because it's a huge deal. It's the representation of the day that God met man, that Jesus left the splendors of heaven and came, was born of a woman to be all man and all God, though he did not use any part of his Godhead. He just lived his life as a man. And that was the day that that the enemy knows. So a manger scene is like, to Satan, is like the worst case scenario, mm-hmm. because that's the day that proves that Jesus was born of a woman, but yet his father was God. Mm-hmm. And that he was going to take away the sins of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, and the sin is what kept, you know, Satan's crew together. But when you get your sin forgiven, he loses you. The captive set free by Jesus. So he hates the manger scene. So don't take it lightly when somebody says, hey, you know, that, you know, we want to take this manger scene down. Just say no.
Right.
Just say no. And I was so excited. I mentioned earlier, I think last week, that there was a city, little small city, that was threatened by ACLU, that if they put up their manger scene, they were going to be sued. So they decided in a roundabout way of not putting it up by saying, it's old, we're not going to buy a new one. Mm. Well, I'm so excited to report that several churches heard about that in the area. They bought the manger scene for like $5 or something from the government, and they set it up on a property right across the street from City Hall.
Oh, wow.
And that's so beautiful. That's what we got to do. We got to just take charge and say, you know, we can work this out. Mm. As a matter of fact, every city needs a piece of public viewed private land that the church mm-hmm. owns that you can do whatever you want to as a witness. You know, find right in the center of the city, you know, buy some building or something, tear it down, whatever you got to do. And that's your piece of property that you're going to put crosses on. You're going to put, you know, mm-hmm. Celebrate Easter on. Everybody's got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm cool with that. You know, they want to talk about separation of church and state. Well, fine. Okay. Then when the state needs to shrink, it needs to get smaller. That's fine. Sell all your assets, get rid of everything, small government, and give us our money back, and we'll take that money, and we'll buy land, and it'll be our land, and we'll put whatever we want on the land.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the government's trying to, you know, it's too big.
Mm-hmm.
And that works if the government gets small, but if you keep buying everything, it's like, hey, we got to put it up somewhere. But several churches went and bought the very same manger scene that ACLU, actually the devil through the ACLU, was trying to keep from going up, and ended up right across from City Hall in that small city.
Beautiful.
Wow. I'd encourage you, don't just throw your hands up when you see that. Just think about what you can do. And it's a business that was right across the street that was out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah, use our property. Go ahead and use our property. And set it up right in front of the business, right in the face of the city who denied, the city councilman who denied putting that up. You know, I just pray that the city councilman just repents and say, you know what? You know, even if we get sued, even think about this. We got to learn to understand that when you stand up for God, everybody's not happy, and half of the New Testament was written from prison.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was crucified. James was hung.
Right.
Peter was crucified upside down. And when you stand up for God, I mean, things are going to happen. So we can't keep avoiding pain and justify before God and say, hey, you know, Lord, they were going to take $10 from me, and I didn't want those $10, so you understand why I didn't acknowledge you today.
Mm. Right.
I think you can't explain that at the throne room of God. You can't explain that. So I encourage you, you know, let's put up, you know, for every manger scene taken down, let's put up 10 more. I mean, you can get them, you can order them online. They got these wooden manger scenes now that are pretty cool. This seems like pretty basic stuff that you just kind of put together and shine light on it. It looks really sharp. They got plastic ones, but anything just represents, you know, what happened on Christmas Day. And it reminds people. That's why the enemy's against it. And we have 11 days. We're 11 days away from Christmas. You know, and so many kids and so many people are excited about this day because a lot of reasons. But we as believing parents, you know, we need to be able to tell them what it's all about and show them what it's all about. And think about service to others. I mean, mm-hmm. think about reaching outside and for every dollar that we spend on ourselves, let's spend a dollar on somebody outside our family that's in need. I mean, think about it. If you buy one gift for, you know, Bobby, we'll also buy a gift for this homeless man, this homeless lady, or, you know, feed somebody, or, you know, buy a bag of gifts. When the sheriff's department was a deputy, you know, the deputies used to gather a whole bunch of gifts and we put it in a big bag, and then a family would get nominated, and then we would drop that whole bag of gifts off to a family that was needy, that didn't have any Christmas. And all of a sudden, these deputies would come in with these big bag of gifts, you know, a big sack of gifts, and
that's nice.
A tree with nothing under it, and it'd just be filled with gifts.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was just an awesome, awesome thing. It's time to really think about others, because when Jesus was born, he was born to die because of others, because of Father God, his Father, and because of us. That he loved us so much that he was willing to endure the cross, its scorn and its shame, for the joy that was set on the other side of being with us. And so I just want to encourage you this Christmas, just to, you know, remember what it's about. It's about Christmas. Christmas. So talk to us. What's happening? What's happening in the big city?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I haven't been to the big city lately, but which is New York City. But I plan. We may take a trip down there to Rockefeller Center and see a little bit of lights or something. But things are going good. Getting ready for our big Christmas party this Saturday.
All right.
Having the VFN family over, and it's a wonderful time to do just that. Invite folks that we haven't had a chance to get together with, and just love on some people, and just have a wonderful time celebrating this time. You know, this is the Lord's birth, and really enjoying nice relationship. You know, everything gets so busy, but it's time to slow down and just enjoy each other's company and remember, look back at 2012 and look forward to what's going to be happening in 2013. I'm so pumped and excited for this new year.
You know, it's so important for us, you know, I've really been praying, and a lot of people have been praying with me, that for us and for those who desire this, that just sort of want to believe that 2013 is the year of the harvest, I mean, there's a great spirit of lethargicness poured over mankind right now.
Mm-hmm.
The tendency right now for people being satisfied with status quo and just stopping everything. I just want to go to work, do my job, and then watch media.
That's it.
And whatever form of media it comes. And it's amazing that, you know, you don't have to settle there. Realize if you're feeling that way, that it's a spirit. It's a mindset that's come over the land. And that's how the enemy will succeed, when we do nothing. And so you have to shake yourself. You have to shake yourself, and you have to, basically stay awake.
Absolutely.
The Lord said, you know, stay awake and pray so that you do not fall. And you cannot sleep your way to freedom. You cannot just hide your way to freedom. And you should be concerned. If you're feeling lethargic, if you're feeling like, you know, maybe you don't like the way the election turned out for the presidency of the United States, which I personally believe that now that was probably the best thing that could happen to the church. Because if, prophetically speaking, if I like what Rick Joyner said, and that's kind of, I bear witness with that, that if Mitt Romney would have won, that just would have meant we had more time.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing was going to happen. The crash was coming. Right. And if President Obama won, that means we're out of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes to a point, it's just like, you know what? You know, we just got, whatever's going to happen needs to happen so we can move on to the next thing. The next season is a harvest. It's a huge harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be talking about, by God's grace, really soon, about the four red moons that are lining up again. They're going to line up again in April 2014 through April 2015. And what happened in 1948 when they lined up, Israel became a nation. What happened in 1967 when they lined up, Israel had the six-seven-day war. And they're about to line up again.
Mm.
And it always starts out tragic, but it ends with victory. And we want to spend the months before this happening in the harvest field.
Mm.
And if you don't know God, we want to introduce you to him. We want you to shake loose from the lethargicness. If all you've been doing is going to church for the last 10 years, ask yourself the question, why? What are you doing? Why do you need to hear one more message if you're not going to do anything about it? You need to say this, okay, I'm being trained up for something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to do something. And all that that's been fed into you, now you're supposed to feed into someone else. You're being trained up to go in. He says, we're all, the Great Commission's for all of us. And we've settled for hearing what God is saying, which was yesterday. We talked about here. And do we get a chance? Well,
no,
we need to be able to talk about it. Maybe today we get a chance. But God's looking for people who hear what the word is and then do what it says. And then you're blessed in all that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So But we have hearers. We have a doers who do and do, but they don't have time to hear. Then we have hoodoo, which is people who think they are what they do. But then you have the people who hear what God says and does it. And James says, this, these people are blessed in all that they do. Listen, we have a whole bunch of hear, do, and hoodoo. But listen, it's time for us to be here doers. And you're going to have to break free. You're going to have to shake yourself. I like how the prophecy given by, you know, Rick Joyner in the book The Call, he wrote it out. It's just like everybody's in prison. God's people are bound and in prison and in darkness, and they don't even know it. And it's when you get vision and you see beyond the prison walls that that's where the harvest field is, to be able to be set free. So there's a big process of coming from a small group that you've been, you know, rah-rahing for the last 10 years. And, but, you know, what are you doing? And convincing yourself that God is right and to follow him and to get from that captivity outside the walls of this prison. And it's just, you got to break so many mindsets. We'll be talking more about that. And there's people guarding the walls that they're convinced that what they're doing is right. But what it is, it's kingdom building, men's kingdoms. They're building their kingdoms. But we didn't, God didn't send us, save us to build our kingdoms. He saved us to advance his kingdom, which is advanced in the hearts of men. And the fivefold ministry spoken of in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and on, is to train you up for works of service. And the church grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. You got a part to play. You got a part to play. And that, you know, if you're struggling with, listen, I'd just rather watch it than do it. I mean, you know, you're known by your fruit. You're not known by your, you're not known by your your confession. You're known by your confession that's matched with your fruit. You know, faith without works is dead. And I love what I hear Ian Skelly doing right now during the Gulf Coast area. That he's really said, you know, what kind of fruit have you? I mean, Ian's cranking it up down here. You know, he's got a soul-winning outreach, and he's talking about, you know, have you won anybody to the Lord? Let's get busy. You know, he's taking him and David Mayo are beginning to really aggressively reach out. And the Gulf Coast reads, and that's encouraging because 95% of self-professing believers don't win one person, statistics say, to the Lord. And that's not right because we're known by our fruit. And so I just want to encourage you that, you know, we can break loose from this. And it is, it's going to be difficult because the second you start walking out of that group who is a hear-hearer or a do-doer or hoodoo, because hoodoo's like this, who's going to do this month? Who's going to entertain us this week so we can recognize you for that's who you are, and then we'll switch off because I got to let you know what I do so you can know that's who I am. And so I may sing to you, you may preach to me, we may teach, you know, all this kind of stuff's going on. Like, but what are we doing? If we're all believers, we should be out advancing his kingdom. I know this is a freaky word to hear this, especially around the Bible Belt area, but let me tell you something. We're supposed to be doing something. We're not supposed to just run out and build a house when the wind blows it down. We're supposed to go out and help people build their house on the rock, Jesus Christ. We're not just like this emergency crew people that go out outside of our confines during the time of emergency, which is great that we do. We're supposed to stay out and help them build houses on the rock of Jesus Christ, because more storms are coming that we've never even experienced before in America. And I truly believe there's going to be those that are listening that are going to listen and hearing what I'm saying. And then maybe a small seed inside of you that's thinking, I knew that was right at once, but there've been so many people that were satisfied with captivity, and we just talk to each other, but we don't do anything. And as a matter of fact, you know, that I thought it was okay at this point, not doing anything, but you're starting to stir that seed inside of me again. Yeah. And you know, I want to tell you this, that you're going to answer alone. All them folks that you're with right now that's satisfied with captivity and not doing anything with what they hear, they will answer alone too, but you can't bring them as witnesses, nor can you blame them for what you didn't do. You know, it's Jesus's voice that you're supposed to hear. It's Jesus that you're obeying. And in the past, we had one or two or three. We had like Amy Sybil McPherson. We had Mariah Etter. We had Dowie. We had Oral Roberts. We had Franklin Graham. And we had just mighty men of God, mighty women of God. But it's not going to be the ones anymore. It's going to be armies of men and women who respond like a Mariah Etter, who respond like a Catherine Kuhlman, who respond like a Dowie or a John G. Lake. Listen, the people around you who are satisfied with captivity are not going to cheer you on. The guards of that captivity aren't going to be happy when you start seeing outside the walls. But let me tell you something. If I'm the person outside the walls and you break loose from the freedom to come from the captivity to tell me that Jesus loves me and has a plan for my life and that he will forgive me and bring me into his family, and you train me up and disciple me and relate to me and show me what family's all about, I'm glad you broke free. I'm glad you broke free. And there's so many people that are dying today because people have been satisfied with captivity, with men's philosophies and traditions that have made God's word of non-effect, but it's time to be set free and no longer be held captive. And listen, nobody's going to cheer you on if you're in the same prison. But listen, when you break outside the walls of that captivity, whatever it is, the religious captivity, mm-hmm. you're going to be surprised. Everything you thought was so important and everything you thought you couldn't do and the very thing that thought that kept you inside that captivity, you're going to have to walk through that. But when you go through that, as soon as you get through it, you're going to be amazed going, I can't believe I gave it all that validity. I gave it all that power, and it was all my belief that it held me back. It was my beliefs that held me back in saying that I couldn't, and Satan was there to agree with me and to criticize me and define me and put me into some box. You know what? And then you come out there and you begin to tell people the very good news of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think how powerful that is. That is so powerful. Maybe that's you. Maybe that seed's being stirred up, and I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you right now that you can go to Greg Lancaster Ministries. Go to greglancasterministries.org or greglancaster.org and go there and let me know. Talk to me. Talk to me. If that's you, you know, I want to get up with you. I want to begin to speak into that seed that's in your life. I want to begin to fan that flame into a fire. Let's go after God. Let's get free from captivity. Listen, if whoever wants to stay in jail, let them stay in jail. Let's go out to the people, to the sick, not to the well. Let's go out to the ones who don't even know him. Let's give them hope. God loves all men and wants no man to pass outside of knowing him.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't rejoice in that. But we have to tell them. How are they going to know unless someone tells them? How is someone going to tell them unless someone goes? And how is someone going to go unless they're sent? This is what he said. And so there's a whole world outside that prison. There's a whole world outside of that. But you're not going to find cheerleaders inside of it. You're not going to find people that pat you on the back when you start heading towards Jesus. You're not going to find people that are like, you'd be really surprised. But you know what? If you get free, if you walk free of that and stay rightly related to what God is doing, understand this. There are those in captivity. They'll begin to look at you and understand that you were once in captivity, but they can see your freedom and they will get free too. Listen, Jesus came to set us free. And if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sets us free, you are free indeed. We'll be right back. You know, when you're thinking about your relationship with the Lord, I mean, life gets hectic, you know. John, I mean, you think about it. You know, you got your work, you got your family, you got, you know, friends, you got, you know, just everything's pulling at you. You know, your nation's pulling at you. You know, you're just, it doesn't matter where, it just seems like everything just kind of pulls at you. And there needs to be some sort of epicenter of peace, you know, some place that is a place that you can abide, you know, just I can get to my secret place. You know what I'm saying? And really, because, you know, being a believer, if you're listening right now, and you're a believer that wherever you are, you know, the kingdom of God is not a matter of relocation. It's a matter of revelation, and that you can realize that right where you are, God wants to meet with you and meet with him. Yeah, you need to probably most people really want to abide with God, but they just need a simple plan. You know, everything's coming so quick. There's so much information hitting you. You can't find rest anywhere. But let me tell you something. You're going to need to find this rest, and you're going to need to abide under the Lord's wings of a secret place, because, you know, it's just going to increase. It's not going to decrease all the stress that's coming, because it's actually a strategy of the adversary to mess you up. But let me tell you something. God had this day in mind. You just need a simple plan. And you can go, as a matter of fact, John, you can go to iabide.org. We have that simple plan waiting for you right now. iabide.org. You know, you have iPhones and iPods. Well, go to iabide.org and read a little bit about abiding. If you want to request a simple plan, just request it there, and it'll come right immediately to you. A video and some information to be able to help you. You could start right away.
and your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You've been trying to conquer some things in your life and some personal struggles. Let me tell you, that's why Jesus died. He died to be able to empower you to do that. But you can't do it on your own. You're going to need to be empowered by God. And that happens, like he told us in John 15, it happens when you abide with him. So go to iabide.org and find out that the Lord will empower you to walk this walk that he asked of you at iabide.org.
Steve, Pat, it's the weekend. Now, you do know what that means.
Oh, yeah.
The Marathon Weekend.
That's right. It's the Marathon Weekend, boys, and you don't want to miss it. Saturday, 9 a.m. all the way till Monday, you'll be able to catch back-to-back VFN radio programs. You certainly don't want to miss it. No interruptions, no commercials, just pure education, pure inspiration, pure revelation on Marathon Weekend. Don't miss it.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits on our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app. But they like us, and so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat, based on what we presently see. Where think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, You can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown in their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. And speaking of that, reminds me, you know, years ago when I was in law enforcement, I thought to myself, you know, I thought, I will never, ever, 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 which means that's the next thing I'll be doing. I will never, ever, ever get a minivan, you know, because, you know, you're newly married, you know, and, you know, Megan and Amber are my two daughters, you know, we're real young right there. And, you know, you just think, if you get in a minivan, if you're a man riding a minivan, that was back
then.
Man,
now
they're styling today. They're styling today. You know, but back then, you know, it was a little bit different. And so, you know, it wasn't a VW van, but it was a minivan. And and so.
I remember that van.
You remember? And so we wanted to go to the Grand Canyon. We wanted to go all the way from Florida all the way to the Grand Canyon, which is a long ways. And we wanted to go camping. Well, obviously, my Corvette wasn't going to work. The Camaro wasn't going to work, you know. So, and so what we did was we went. Next thing you know, I don't know what happened. I sneezed or something, and I'm riding Interstate 10 West. And I'm in a minivan, and I was in a daze when it happened. I didn't realize it was going to really happen. But next thing I realized is I'm riding Interstate 10 West. There's nothing between you. Interstate 10 is the most boring interstate in the world. It's strictly a driveway for the military, I think. Anyway, so it dawned on me, I'm in a minivan, you know. And so we were on our journey. We were on a journey, and at that time, you know, I was a clean person. I liked things clean, you know. I meant even you know, my police cruiser, I would wash my cruiser, and I would shine it all up and all these different things, you know, and sometimes I had to put it on a hill and wash it out with a water hose. Anyway, so you know, with that, here I am, you know, this I'm in the minivan, so it's over. It's over as we know it. And I'm driving west to this big pothole, no, to Grand Canyon, and I'm ahead. We're just excited about this, and we're going to camp. No, we're not going to do it, you know, the way that many people do it with campers and, you know, what do you call those things?
RVs.
Well, I was thinking about more like an RV.
RV.
But I didn't have a pop-up either. It was like pull it out and set it up. And so my first place, the first place we stopped, and we went through Florida, we went through Alabama, we went through Louisiana, we ended up in Brownsville, Texas. We were in Brownsville, Texas. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we have it all together, all organized, and, you know, all the stuff was going on. And Donna's a detailed organizer type person, you know, and she had it all kind of laid out. And so we're looking around for a camping spot. We're trying to find a camping spot. And, you know, first of all, you don't want to be on the ground in the first place. So you're looking around for a good place to camp, right? And I looked to go, I saw it all. Oh my goodness, this is a beautiful grassy area right over here. And I'm like, that's where we got to set up our tent. Not only was it beautiful and grassy, it was like thick, plush grass. And I couldn't figure why people were camping. I was like, anyway, this must be God because he just spared this place for us, you know? And so we go over there and it has like even this beautiful shrubbery hedge. It's maybe about 6 foot hedge, five foot hedge that's trimmed and plush. I'm thinking, this is like a pocket of beauty. You know, this is beautiful. So here we are. We set up our camp on the grassy knoll, and we start cooking and fixing food, just having this great time or whatever. We finish eating, and we take every single utensil. And we have like a bucket for washing and a bucket for rinsing, and we washed everything.
You guys are good.
Oh, dude. Oh, man. Hey, we was going to do it, right, even though we was in the dirt, you know. But we didn't realize God was going to teach us how to adjust. I got some stuff to tell you here. And so here we were washing. I can visualize that fork right now. We were cleaning that thing off and cleaning that spoon off and cleaning that plate off. I think we have, I don't know. And it was just so clean. And so we go to sleep that night on the grassy knoll, surrounded by the beautiful hedge. And all of a sudden, early in the morning, early morning, we didn't hear a rooster crowing. We heard an RV crowing, because on the other side of that shrub, a few feet away from us, where we were sleeping, was a dumping station where every RV was going there to dump their
stuff
in a hole in the ground. And that's why the grass was so green.
Oh,
and it's like, oh, my goodness. And we're like, quick, back, go, quick. Oh. And so, but then, you know, when you have RVs, they have this blue stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, they don't have. They put stuff in their water that makes it sanitize. I don't know. It makes it smell terrible, but it doesn't smell like what you think it smells like. It's the blue stuff,
right?
You know, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's all over the place. And so we're packing and getting out. And from that point on, in the beginning, our first day we camped, we smelled like the blue stuff. The tent we smelled like the blue stuff.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, okay, this is gonna be great, you know. And so then we drove all the way across, you know, Texas, and now we're like in Kerrsville, Texas, in the middle of nowhere. We passed Fort Lancaster, which was part of the Pony Express delivery system where you should deliver the mail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. You got email today that you had a pony. Anyway, so the Pony Express at Fort Lancaster, and we're reading all the different stuff there, and all of a sudden we read one little sign. You had the kids, you know, around, walking around and stuff, and it says, snakes. Beware of snakes. I'm like, oh, my goodness. We ran, jumped in the van, and took off. Anyway, so we drove this long, long driveway to somewhere. It was just like, where's rocks and tumbleweeds and sand? And is there a reprieve? You feel like that person, you know, in the movies is just kind of walking through the desert hoping
is
that
there a video of this?
It's like a mirage, you know. Is there a mirage here? We're going to, at some point, we're going to see something, you know. Seriously, tumbleweeds. We saw oil wells. I mean, Fort Lancaster was nothing but an old brick tipped over. They didn't have a picture of the pot. And they had somebody, by the way, on the government that was looking over that.
That brick?
That brick. And so, I mean, we just went on. And finally, you know, we make it to New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the petrified forest. Which are rocks that are shiny. I mean, there's nothing much difference. And so we're there, and it's just flat, and it's dark, and we're tired. And we were like, we refuse to camp in the sand one more time, so we're going to get to New Mexico thinking there was going to be a reprieve. And we get there, and we have these little old stakes that are about as thin as a tent stakes. They're about as thin as a toothpick, and you can't see what you're nailing them into. And I'm bounding them things trying to get in there. And to be able to set that camp up, you know, and they just bent. They kept bending and bending. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So finally, we just didn't anchor it down. We blew up our rafts, went in there, little small rafts to sleep on. And as soon as we laid on them, it went, psh, and we were slept on a rock. The reason why the stakes wouldn't go into the ground is because I was nailing them in a rock. New Mexico is a rock. It's a rock. It's like, come on, come to Pensacola, come to the Gulf Coast, go to, you know, Jersey, go to somewhere where you got some, you know, what's up with that?
Yeah, greenery.
Right? Greenery and plushness and forest. And so anyways, you can tell, you know, I'm talking about we can adjust. There's a way to adjust. And so needless to say, we're in Kerrsville, Texas at one point, and Amber had gotten wet or something happened. And so by this time, you know, we're just like, I think Donna picked Amber up and kind of held her over the fire to dry her out. Oh my goodness. And I remember too that, you know, Megan just, she's like, I have to have this video chair. I want this video. It was nothing but a piece of cloth. with a fold in it, right? So she had to sit on the video chair all the way to the Grand Canyon. She didn't like that video chair. And so when we finally arrived in the Grand Canyon, you know, we stood there and we looked at the edge of it and we're thinking, whoa, this is a big hole. It's like we drove all this far for a huge hole. I mean, it's like, oh my goodness. And of course it was beautiful, the lights and the sun setting and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, it's a mile drop down.
Mm. Wow.
And so, you know, with that, you know, we went to our camp. We're gonna break our camp, and you understand, you're in the mountains now, so it's cold. It's very cold. And the water they have, it's not cold, it's one step shy of 16 degrees below zero.
It's like, wow.
It's like body parts will break off if you put it in it. You know what I'm saying? You just kind of splash it at a distance in a hurry. It was so cold. And you remember how clean we were when we first started, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here we are. We're about to cook, and Donna drops an entire raw chicken on the ground. An entire raw chicken on the ground. I picked it up. I looked at her. She looks at me. I look at that faucet, that cold water, and I just dust it off with my hand. And we cooked that puppy up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We can adjust.
Yeah.
You know, we can adjust. I mean, that was a huge transformation for me, being willing to dust off the chicken before you cook it versus clean it. And so but it didn't have a head on it, and it was already plucked. And so finally, I want to say that, you know, it just came time at some point when you're camping, you just got to have a shower. It was just time. Yeah. The water is freezing, right? It's just like, what do you do? What do you do? And so they said that you can have a hot shower. The park said you can have a hot shower, but it costs money to get a hot shower.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I go down and I carry some coins. You got to have coins, like, you know, and you put coins in there. And I carry 50 cents for the shower. And I get in there, and it's like this whole bunch of shower stalls with curtains in it, you know, I guess for the guys. I guess it was the same for the women. And so you get in there, you put your, I mean, this is going to be a great reward. It's hot water. You know what I'm saying? This is going to be great. So I put in my two quarters, and oh, this hot water, man. It's like, oh, this is like heaven. Yeah, this is heaven, man. I'm sudding up. I got sud on my face, soap on my face. I got soap in my hair. And all of a sudden, man, that 50 cents runs out.
Oh, no.
I mean, think about it. I jump out of the flow, obviously, because I didn't want anything to freeze. And so I jump back and turn the thing off. And so I'm sitting there with soap in my eyes, soap in my ears, soap in my hair, with no change in my pockets because I had no pockets. Thinking, how do you ask other men who are in the shower stall, do you have change? I mean, yeah, how do you knock on a shower curtain? Excuse me, sir, in there, you know, you don't have pockets. I'm like, oh my goodness, I am stuck. What do I do? You know, what do I do? And I'm just like pondering. I feel like it takes more than 50 cents to get soap off of you. You know, it costs, I think it was $2.75 if you really wanted to be clean. Yeah, they put this in the brochure. You know, so here I am. I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm going to have to get the soap out of my eyes and my hair. So I'm going to go. And this water is so cold. Imagine knives coming out of a faucet. I mean, it's like cutting cold, you know. And so I'm bracing myself, you know, and I'm leaning forward. Just the head and the hair. Man, that stuff hits my face and hits my hair, and all of a sudden the soap just freezes to my face. It freezes. I mean, it was just terrible. I was like, that's enough. And I leave, and I go back and start looking for change. I mean, you don't take change when you're camping in the Grand Canyon. They should tell you, take change. But the big thing I want to talk about is that I adjusted. I adjusted. I went from a lazy boy chair, you know, to nice hot showers and nice dishwasher that cleaned dishes, to going sleeping by a dumping station in Brownsville, Texas, roasting our children to dry them in Kerrsville, Texas, and dusting chickens off in the Grand Canyon and freezing soap to my head. And we had a great time. We had a great time.
That's amazing.
Oh, we had a great time, you know. But it reminds me, though, because so many things are going on right now. And the reason why you would be panicking about what's going on, because you don't understand we can adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And God's designed us to adjust. And it's just, there's a painful process in adjusting. It was not like, I wasn't like, woo, great. I got soap in my eyes, soap in my hair, and I got no change. I mean, it wasn't like that. Right. But I went through that, you know, and I adjusted. But it reminds me of Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 through 13. Paul talks about this. He says, I know what it is to be in need. Mm-hmm. And I know what it is to have plenty. So mm-hmm. Paul knew both things. He says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do everything through him, Jesus Christ, who gives me strength.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God's designed us to adjust. It's not, listen, America, it's not over. Because comfort and convenience is over. Your walk in God is just beginning because comfort and convenience has been the God of America.
Yeah.
And you're going to rid that. And that's what a lot of people are freaking out about right now because they're about to lose their false gods. But realize it's false. Mm-hmm. But you're going to turn back to this true God who loves you and has a plan for your life. And you're going to adjust. I mean, think about it. He designed our bodies where when we move to warm climates, our blood thins so we can be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And when we move to cold climates, our blood thickens so we can be warm. I mean, you didn't do nothing for that. Mm-hmm. God designed you that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're like, oh, I thickened my blood up a little bit. No, you didn't thicken your blood. You know, if your blood's so thick, why don't you go to the hot area right now and pass out? You know? And you just can't. God does that. Or think about this. When you work hard with your hands, with a real rough labor, at first, you start getting a few blisters in your hand, but as you continue to work hard with your hands, God's designed your skin to thicken up. It'll thicken up and it'll get calluses on it. I mean, he's designed us to adjust.
Mm.
When you exercise, our bodies adjust. When we get stronger and stronger, it'll make an adjustment when you exercise.
Mm.
But all these things come through transitional times.
Mm.
You know, if you understand that it's just a transitional time and we're going to be in a better place and we're going to be stronger and we're going to be more thick skin and we're going to be able to go through things we couldn't go through that we can't adjust. Listen, there'll be times of discomfort, times of pain, times of having to push through so that we can gain more. A muscle has to be broken down to less than it was when you started for it to build stronger than it will be. I mean, this is the way it works. This is how God's designed it. And hands have to first go through a blistering phase before they can be thickened. And your faith in God has to be tested. It has to go through something, some hardships, so that you can push through. I mean, that's why he tells us in James, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kind, because the testing of your faith develops something. Going through something develops something. It develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be maybe mature and complete and not lacking anything. Yeah, what we're hearing is we're going through some stuff. I mean, maybe you're going through it right now. You're going through some difficulty right now. But if you get the right perspective of this difficulty and understand if you trust God through this, you'll be stronger. But if you throw your hands up and think that you had to have it the way it was before it was this way, then not only are you going to go back, but you're going to fall back. What I found out as I was crossing the country in this minivan, going on this cross-country camping trip, I went from being surgically clean to brushing dirt off a chicken and cooking it up and being satisfied with frozen soapy water on my face and in my hair. I realized that I can adjust. Listen, church, we can adjust, we must adjust, and we're going to have to go through something to build our faith up. We'll be right back. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.